Well, if you open your Bibles, please, at Ephesians chapter 1. And I know we looked at this passage not too long ago, but I would like just again, seeing as there's only a small number of us here, not saying that the Word of God should be any less important with small number, but I thought it would be helpful to us to look at these verses again, these well-known verses in Ephesians chapter 1, and really beginning with verse 3 and going down through these verses. And I want to just consider with you this evening some of the wonderful truths that are found in this passage. And we have at least 12 things that we want to notice briefly together this evening. We begin really with verse 3, which is could form a title for the sermon, especially the three words, all spiritual blessings. Verse 3 we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." In this verse we have the source and the situation of our blessings. The source is the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the situation of our blessings is in heavenly places in Christ. So let us just in a few minutes go through these different spiritual blessings that we have. It says in verse 3, all, but we will mention 12 of them briefly this evening as we meditate on the Word of God. First of all, in verse 4, we have an election that can never be annulled. We have an election that can never be annulled. Verse 4 reads, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." And if God has chosen us in Christ, notice he has not chosen us in ourselves. It's not in us, it is in Christ he has chosen us. Notice it is before the foundation of the world. And then notice also the purpose for this election, that we should be holy and without blame. Now the Word of God tells us that when he shall appear, then we shall be like him. The point, brothers and sisters, tonight is this, that we will be holy one day, completely holy, that day when he shall appear. We have an election that can never be annulled. If God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him not also freely give us all things? Secondly, we have a relationship that can never be severed. A relationship that can never be severed. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. We are the children of God by adoption. We are not only chosen, but we are adopted. We have been made part of the family of God. And again, notice it is by Jesus Christ, not by us, not because of us, or not because of something we have done. As the Word of God says, not by our will, not by our desire, Romans chapter 9, but according to his mercy. It says here in verse 5, according to the good pleasure of his will. So it's not by the will of man, not by the will of the flesh or the desire of man, but by the will of God. And he has predestinated us unto this adoption of children. This is the goal of his election. He's chosen us to be adopted. Then thirdly, in verse 6, we have an acceptance that can never be undermined. An acceptance that can never be undermined. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Again, the reason why we're accepted is not because of who we are. We're accepted because of Christ. We're accepted in Him, in the Beloved. He is the one who the Father said, "This is my Beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And it's because we are in Him that we are accepted. Fourthly, we have a redemption that can never be challenged. A redemption that can never be challenged. Verse 7 reads, "In whom we have redemption." Again, notice, it's in whom. It's in Christ we have redemption. That's why it can't be challenged. That's why somebody cannot say, there's a problem with your salvation. There's a problem with your redemption. There can be no challenge. Why? Because it is in Christ. It is in Him. Everything so far is because of Him. Have you noticed that? Chosen in Him. Adopted by Jesus Christ. Accepted in the Beloved. Redemption in Him through His blood. It says here. Because of who He is. And because especially of His death, this redemption can never be challenged. If Christ has died for your soul, if Christ has shed His blood for your soul, that redemption can never be challenged. That redemption can never be thwarted. It can never be turned upside down or inside out. Why? Because Christ has died for you. But then fifthly, we have a forgiveness that will never be rescinded. You know the way it is with some of us, we can forgive somebody and then change our mind, or secretly we don't forgive. Secretly we harbor bitterness. Well, it says in verse 7, "The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." The unmerited favor of God. We have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. A forgiveness that will never be rescinded. It will never be taken back. It will never be changed. Again, it's in Christ. It's according to the riches of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then, sixthly, in verse 8, we have an abundance that can never be exhausted. An abundance that can never be exhausted. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Do you remember when the prodigal son came back to the father? Do you remember what happened? When the father saw him, he ran to him. And he told the servants to bring a cloak and sandals and a ring for his finger. This is the way it is with God, with us, isn't it? He abounds. He doesn't just grudgingly give us grace or mercy. He abounds towards us in this grace. But notice as well what it says in verse 8. In all wisdom and prudence. I love this. Because there's nothing unwise about God's salvation. You know when it says, do you know when some people say to us, "Oh, don't be nice to that person, they don't deserve it." And you might question the wisdom of somebody in being gracious to somebody else. But here it says of God that there's nothing that's lacking in the wisdom of God or the prudence of God in God being merciful towards us. This is the exercise of perfect wisdom. In all wisdom and prudence. God's dealing with us with perfect knowledge. Isn't that wonderful? That it's not that God has suddenly forgot all His characteristics, forgot His holiness, forgot His righteousness and His justice. No. He's abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. But then, seventhly, we have a revelation that will never be superseded. A revelation that will never be superseded. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. As I was at the debate last night, that I've already made mention of, you know, the Muslims say that they have another revelation of God. The Mormons say the same thing. The Jehovah's Witnesses say the same. The Roman Catholic Church says the same. But listen, here in verse 9, we have a revelation that will never be superseded. It will never be replaced. God has made known unto His church the mystery of His will, which He hath purposed in Himself. Listen, there's no more to be revealed. There's no more revelation needed, is there? God has fully... What does Jude verse 3 say? Turn there for a moment. This, just to back up the point here. In Jude and verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Actually, the meaning here in the margin, it reads, which was once for all delivered unto the saints. This revelation, this will of God needs no further revealing. God has made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. But then, eighthly, we have a Savior that cannot be divested. We have a Savior that cannot be divested. Nothing can touch the one who is our Savior. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather in one, together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Everything has been brought together in Christ, even in Him. He is the one who brings all things together to Himself. He cannot be divested. He cannot be robbed of His sovereignty, of His supremacy in this world. Everything in heaven and on earth is brought together into Christ. Then ninthly, we have an inheritance that can never be spoiled. An inheritance that can never be spoiled. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Again, notice there, it's in Christ. In Him we have obtained an inheritance. You know, in the Old Testament, each of the tribes received a portion of the land, didn't they? But there was one tribe that didn't. Do you remember which one?
The Levites.
The Levites, exactly. And the reason was because God was their inheritance. We have here, the apostle tells us, no continuing city in the book of Hebrews. We look for that which is to come. Listen, Christ is our inheritance. In whom? In Him we have obtained an inheritance. He is our inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Our inheritance can never be spoiled, because this is all worked out by God. It's all worked out by our sovereign God. And our inheritance can never be taken from us, can it? Can it? It can never be taken from us. When we think, oh well, you know, I don't feel like a Christian. Listen, it's not your feelings. It's Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the gospel we believed at the beginning. That's the gospel that keeps us going even now, isn't it? Isn't it? That's the truth that justifies us, and that's the truth that sanctifies us, and that's the truth that glorifies us. It's faith in Christ. That's all we have. But listen. Listen, dear saints of God. It is not only all we have. It is all that we have. Do you get the difference? Sometimes we say, oh, well, that's all I have. Listen, this is all. This is everything. This is all that we could ever want. To have an inheritance found in Jesus Christ. The one who has purposed all things after the counsel of His own will. Tenthly, we have purpose that can never be altered. We have purpose that can never be altered. That we should be to the praise of His glory. What does the first question of the catechism say? What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Listen, what's my purpose? What's your purpose tonight? It's to be to the praise of His glory. The ones, it says here, who first trusted in Christ. We have been saved for the praise of His glory. That's a purpose that can never be altered. Because you see, even in heaven, that will be our purpose, won't it? That will be our calling, even in heaven, to be to the praise of His glory. For all eternity, we will be those who will worship the Lamb. Worship the One on the throne and the Lamb for all eternity. 11. We have a trust which can never be broken. A trust which can never be broken. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We have a trust which can never be broken. We trust in Him. And our faith will never be disappointed, will it? He will never let us down. Never will I leave thee. Never will I forsake thee. We have a trust which can never be broken, because we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God has given us, you know, like in the old days, they would send a letter. And what would they do? They would take their ring, wouldn't they? Do you remember what they would do? And they'd put the wax on the where the letter was rolled up, and they put their ring into the hot wax. That was their seal. What's God's seal? It's the Holy Spirit. God has given us His Holy Spirit. I was asked by a Muslim last night, he was actually the main speaker, he said, how do you know this is God's book? I said, the Holy Spirit has told me. He wasn't happy with that answer. But that's the best answer we can give. Never let us be afraid of that answer. We are not called to please men with our answers. We are called to testify to the truth. And God says that He has given the Holy Spirit as the seal, as the guarantee. How do I know this is God's book? The Holy Spirit has confirmed to me that this is God's word. Finally, we have a pledge that will never be dishonored. We have a pledge that will never be dishonored. Verse 14, which is the earnest, this is the Holy Spirit again, which is the earnest of our inheritance, which is the assurance, the guarantee, absolutely. The guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. A pledge that will never be dishonored. When God has given us the Holy Spirit, this is the earnest, the assurance, the guarantee of our inheritance. It's the guarantee that a day is coming when we will stand before Him face to face. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I see Him and look upon His face, the glory of His grace. What a day. Glorious day that will be. May God bless the reading and the preaching of His word this night. Let us stand for prayer.